on the line?
Yeah, we're here. I'm enjoying this discussion, man. I wanted to drop in a couple too. If y'all didn't mind.
You guys. So that's Rod and Karen from The Black Guy Who Tips. The original conversation we were talking about Ray J's I Hit It First, but it turned into a conversation about people making music now, or artists making music not for the sake of art, but for the sake of celebrity. You guys have an opinion about that?
I think that I agree with Big Game on this. I think that we often over criticize what is current. Like, people didn't know Marvin Gaye was timeless. Only time can tell you that, you know, as fact. So, you know, it's like if I was listening to Marvin Gaye's album right now for the first time ever, I don't necessarily know that it, you know, I don't know that I would be like, oh, yeah, this is timeless. This is a classic right here if I was first introduced to it, you know, this second. So, and the same thing with Kendrick, you know, the same thing with Kanye, the same thing with Eminem, the same thing with Jay-Z. You know, even Badu, Jill Scott, like, I think we have a lot of artists that are in it for substance more so and legacy more so than just to be famous.
Even just with the people that you named, you're able, and I'm sorry to cut you off, but you're able to differentiate between when you're hearing some music that you know for a fact is good versus something that's just kind of, it might be here tomorrow, it might not be here tomorrow.
Yes.
Like, every single artist that you just named off is somebody who stood out to you for a reason.
Yeah, well, I think, these are the artists I'm picking that I think could have the best chance of being timeless artists. But at the same time, I think that the past was rife with people who were simply capitalizing off of the machine of music and trying to make as big a splash as possible. The entire landscape of the Grammys is a landfill for the best new artists. It's a bunch of people who had number one hits all up and down the chart that year, and we never heard it from them again. You know, Milli Vanilli, CNC Music Factory, the entire era of disco. Like, people just act like it's like we cherry pick the greatness from when we were young, and we just forget about the the excess and the people that the No Limit era was an era. It was a thing where you could not escape it on the radio. And it's like when I talk to people my age about music from our age, no one ever brings that shit up because no one wants to say, oh yeah, I guess I did listen about it or, you know, I got Hook Up became a movie because people were buying these shiny colored CDs with gold tanks on the front. So I don't want to be one of those people that gets old and then starts seeing everything through rose tinted glasses.
Right. I want to say something really quick. I'm 50-50 on it. I don't listen to new music. I just don't. I mean, somebody has to trap me and say, Moody, listen to this. Or somebody has to, you have to trap me like a wild animal and hold me down and make me listen. And by the way, Casey, I like Trinidad Jack. Trinidad brings out the inner coon in me, like, you know, like Waka Flocka did. You know, before I work out or play racquetball or something, a lot of times before, just to get pumped up, I would listen to, what is that song this boy had? Go Hard in the Paint? I'm Hard in the Paint or something.
Waka Flocka?
Right, and that would get me pumped up, and then I'd turn his ass off and turn on some other shit, Black Guy's Hips, you know, something like that in the gym. But if I was playing racquetball, I listen to a lot of ignorant shit to get me pumped up, so I'm not going to be a liar and say I don't listen to it. Here's the problem with, I'm 43, and I talk to a lot of young guys, whether they be artists, producers, or just regular people, you know, with regular 9-to-5s. And the conversation of us over romanticizing the golden era, if you will, it comes up all the time. And the one problem I have with people saying, you know, I don't want to be old and hold on, is that if we look at society, it mirrors the fact that no one wants to hold on to anything anymore. Like, and this is my opinion. We want to say it is what it is. Well, it is what it is has gotten us in a shitload of trouble, whether it be socially or whether it be musically. And I think that the reason I continue to hold on, and I will always hold on to the golden era, in my opinion of hip-hop, because I'm telling you, for every 80s person that will worship Marvin Gaye, there's a very late 60s, early 70s person that will worship Otis Redding and Bill Withers. So everybody has their golden era. What I'm saying is, what we're holding on to, I think people need to understand, it's not so much the music. Like if you talk to, I don't want to say purists, I'm not too sure how I feel about certain purists, but when you listen to the music nowadays, the one thing you hear people that are still holding on to what was before, we don't mind Trinidad James if we can have Childish Gambino mainstream. Now, listen to what I'm saying, because I'm not concerned with mainstream because I don't listen to the radio. But I'm talking about the people that do it. I don't mind a Trinidad James if I can get a Childish. I don't mind Waka Flocka if I can get an Action Bronson. I don't mind those guys. If we're talking about mainstream, we are being brain fed. You know, a lot of mistakes that we make. Those of us that know how to separate A from B, we roll with that as if no one is being influenced by it.
Right.
But then on the flip side of it, we'll say that we have a song that gets us pumped up. Well, if a song can pump you up and make you cry and make you horny, why don't you think that a person of a lesser intellect or even awareness, let me not call people stupid, why don't you think that song can influence them to do right or wrong? So I'm going to continue to over-romanticize certain things about hip-hop. I don't care about the whack lyricism in the same production. I just want variety and pride. Because back in the day, there was pride. Even Rob Bass had pride. And let me quote a line for Rob Bass. Yo, I got an ego, so. Yo, I got to go, yo, so. And that was, but he had pride. He was like doing his thing, and that shit made no sense to speak of. I'm gonna over-romanticize pride. And then however your music comes out when you have pride, I'm with it.
Moody. But I feel like that's a false ultimatum, though. We can have both. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, I love that era of hip-hop, too. I haven't forgotten it, but I just didn't choose to stop loving new shit. Like, I still, you know, like, even looking at the top charts right now, you know, number one is Macklemore right now. You know, like, mm-hmm. Like it's not just a bunch of ignorant dudes, man. And Drake is on there, Justin Timberlake and Jay-Z, like, I just think that, like, honestly, I think the black community, sometimes we get so negative on ourselves that we start thinking people are bigger than they are because we are embarrassed by them. So it's like, oh, man, Soulja Boy getting all the props. Like, Soulja Boy hasn't been relevant for, like, 3 years. But it's just something about us where we just, you know, we look at stuff and we see it, and it's like, I don't want you representing me. And I think that's a big part of it. But if you actually, like, look at, like, what's selling, what people are listening to, I don't know that those people really represent us. It's just that there will always be a cartoon dude around, you know, putting the art in coon and making that money. Like, it's going to always be somebody that takes the cheese and says, fuck how this looks for everybody else representing, you know, black people. And I think that bothers us, but I don't want it to – I guess I just fight against the idea that that those guys are like winning the rap battle, because I don't think they are. I think you know, a lot of these, and even Childish Gambino makes more money not being mainstream because he wants it that way. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't even, like, he makes $100K a show, while you got dudes like Trinidad James will be broke by next year, and we won't even hear about him again. So, you know,
I think maybe the challenge is, Rod, and I think this might be a bridge, hopefully a bridge between what you're saying and what Moody is saying, because I'm not old, but I'm thinking definitely more like Moody when it comes to this, is that the ones who do seem to spout the most ignorance get the most press. They get the most media. So there might be all these other artists that are doing wonderful things and making tons of money on tour, but when it comes to the faces that are coming across television screens, who's all over blogs, who's all over people's websites mouthing off, they seem to keep the mics in front of the ones who are saying the most ignorant things.
I want to put this question out here real quick.
Kendrick Lamar had the number one selling album last year. I just don't buy it, is all I'm saying. I'm not disagreeing
with the fact that Kendrick had the number one selling album. I don't get a chance to see Kendrick Lamar come across my television screen or my computer screen as often as I'm seeing Trinidad James or Waka Flocka Fame. I wish I could see Kendrick Lamar more often.
Are we talking about financials or are we talking about influence? Because I may be mistaken here. I'm talking about the influence on mainstream. I am not opposed to every opinion I give is only mine. I'm not opposed to new music or anything. I really don't give a shit. I listen to what I listen to. I got YouTube, Pandora, and everything else moving. Are we talking about financials? Because if we're talking about financials, I'm the first one to tell you, a lot of indie artists that you don't hear about at the end of the fiscal year, they're probably grossing more than the guys popping the bubbly on your screen. But if we're talking about the influence of our culture, what people like us, above us, and the most important product in all of this, the younger kids, if we're talking about what the present musical genre is, how it affects the younger kids, then I'll stick to my script. I'm not sure if we're talking about.
Well, I only brought up the sales part of it because I feel like sales does represent the mainstream. And if you have the number one selling album, you win hip hop album of the year at the Grammys and stuff like that, I feel like it does say something about what people are clicking on their blogs, what people are talking about. I just think as black people, we sometimes exacerbate the negative, and we like to. It's kind of like how
I don't think it's us that does it, Rob. I don't think it's us that does it.
I mean, listening to enough podcasts, listening to enough conversations with friends, being part of on Twitter all the time, I see it. It's us that likes to talk about this shit. Like, even if it's us complaining, it's still us giving stuff way more credit than it deserves. When you know, I can't even count on all my fingers and toes in the last year how many people I heard bring up Basketball Wives as some sort of like image of what black women do and what black women are. But if you look at like the ratings and stuff like that, Basketball Wives is not fucking with like Game of Thrones or anything. Like, white people don't give a fuck about black Basketball Wives, but we do because we're black and we always will. We'll always overanalyze Tyler Perry movies. We will always do this because we're black and we care. And I don't think.
So are we talking about what white people's perspective of us is, or are we talking about our perspective of ourselves?
Well, because if we say mainstream, we are definitely talking about white people because that's who moves the mainstream, not us.
That's who buying records.
Once again, if we're talking about who's purchasing mainstream, I agree with that. But we have a stake in mainstream because so much of mainstream is coming from our culture. They are our intellectual property. And I'm just trying to stay with the conversation. I think that I'm concerned about, I don't care about the coon stuff. Once again, the word of the day for me is variety.
Mm-hmm.
If we have variety, I'm fine with every rapper that you put out. If we have variety, you give me one Kendrick per every two Gucci man's name, however you say spell name. If you give me one of him as opposed to every two or three Gucci man, I'm fine with that. But I'm talking about I am above the supposed puppetry of music. I understand that I am not a sheep. I use my own brain. And I do understand what Rod is saying, that, yes, I talk about it all the time. We drag each other down, but we also can't fall into the trap of saying, well, once I show concern, I don't want it to be pocketed as I'm dragging. I don't want to be considered dragging another black man down because I have an opinion about it.
Moody, for the record, I'm not saying that.
I don't think anybody here is dragging anyone down. I'm just saying, where is the variety? I see... For variety.
Variety is one thing.
I
would say variety is one thing, but we also need to acknowledge the fact that everybody is not, every artist is not equal. And I think that's one of the situations that we deal with today. Nobody wants to take a stance one way or another. Everything is just all good when everything is just not all good. Some artists are great, some artists are not. And I think some people are afraid to say that or don't want to say that because it's more popular just to kind of straddle the fence when it comes to situations like this. Now, as far as like television, Basketball Wives, all that kind of stuff, that's not something that we've had a chance to talk about on the mic on Black Is, but those shows exist for a reason. You know, if they weren't making any money, if they didn't have any ratings, there would be no reason to continue to populate shows like that. You know, it started with The Real Housewives, and at this point we got about 4 or 5 wife shows that deal predominantly with Black people and Black relationships. They have some level of influence and some impact. Otherwise, there would be no need to continue to keep making these shows. That's the thing that keeps tripping me out. If I'm watching one of those shows, a commercial is going to come on for the next or a new season of a brand new show that's talking about the exact same thing with the exact same setup. And I'm like, why do we continue to need more of these shows? So I don't know, rating-wise, I mean, granted, you can't compare something like Basketball Wives to Game of Thrones. It's like apples and oranges. We're talking good writing to reality TV. But to me, and I'm not trying to get into too long of a debate here because I want us to move into another topic, but why would there be a need to continue to make these shows? And I guess I'm addressing you specifically, Rod and Karen. Why would there be a need to continue to make these shows if they didn't have any level of popularity or influence at all? Somebody's watching them.
Oh, I'm not saying that they don't have popularity because I watch this bullshit. I'm just letting you know I watch it, and I have nothing wrong with that.
I watch it, too.
Yeah, I think for me it's almost like Moody said with variety, you also need variety. It's a lot of white people cooning up. You know,
Yes, ma'am.
But for some reason, when it comes for us to get this same variety, all of a sudden people get angry. Like, it don't bother me, but people get angry and talk about how Black women aren't paid in a good light and all this stuff. But why can't we have the same variety be whatever it is? It's like we also need to be presented in more than just a straight-laced way. And I understand why people feel like that because they feel like, cultural-wise or the way American or society looks at brown people, that these are just Black people making Black people look bad. But at the same time, I also feel that these people don't represent the majority of the people, because if they did, it wouldn't be a phenomenon that everybody watched every day, because most people don't act like this and they don't behave like this.
I think also
but the balance is missing. I hear what you're saying, Karen, completely, but the balance is missing. If there was that straight-laced representation along with the foolishness, then there would be no reason to have any kind of issue at all whatsoever, because the balance would exist.
Well,
there is no balance
like,
right now.
I think stuff like that.
Hey, can I say something real quick, please?
Oh, okay.
I've been patiently sitting by just, you know, waiting for a chance to say something. Since we're talking about balance, I think we create our own balance. I don't think we should put the responsibility on anyone else to create the balance that we should create for ourselves, talking about TV shows and TV producers or whatever. I mean, if there's nothing but garbage on TV, you have other alternatives to balance things out. Period. I'm done.
Yeah, so like it's kind of like Scandal.
We can argue the merit of Scandal, but go ahead.
I mean, yeah, you could argue the merit, but I don't think you would say as bad as Basketball Wives.
For me, Scandal is problematic in the sense that I don't like seeing an accomplished Black woman sacrificing a relationship with a good Black man to be any man's mistress. To me, just having that on television is problematic. Now, do I watch the show? Yes. Am I going to have a problem with it? Am I going to be out there boycotting Scandal? No. But that storyline to me is a bit troubling. And what cracks me up is after I watch it and then I go to social media and I see all these women hooping and hollering about this whole love situation between her and this married man. And these would be the same women who will complain about why they can't find anybody, why they're not dating, why they're not doing this, why they're not doing that, to me, that storyline is just as problematic as some of the foolishness we see on some of these reality shows.
All right, well, what I would say is, one, I disagree, because it's not real.
And none of it is real. None of it is real.
No, those women have babies by those dudes on Basketball Wives and everything. Like, those relationships happen, you know?
The relationships happen, but a lot of what we see is scripted and edited.
Yeah, it might be, but, like, the baby's not scripted, and the abuse when Evelyn files a suit against Chad Johnson, that's not a script. Like, that's real people going to jail, losing jobs and stuff. So I feel like that's different than a character arc of a character who starts at one place and develops, you know, some sort of esteem and goes, no, I can do better than this. Especially, like I said, when we compare this stuff to other shows and we talk about morality, you got, like, Sopranos, you got Boardwalk Empire, you got The Wire, like other shows where for some reason I feel like black people get so unreasonable at times with our stories. It's like they want our image to just be one thing or to constantly strive towards being one thing, and I feel like that's not necessarily real or interesting. Like, I don't want to watch these shows about these interesting, upstanding black people that have
no
drama.
Right, all the time.
And I feel like everybody that talks like that says they do, but they don't really want that
and
shit.
And they wouldn't watch
we
it.
We wouldn't watch it.
No, you wouldn't.
And nobody wants to watch that shit.
Nope.
That's just not what
I don't think that would be a storyline that would be popular with anybody, but I think all of us can say from our own experiences that there is a myriad of stories that could be told versus the few that we see. If Scandal is the only other opportunity we have to see a black woman doing something and that's supposed to be the opposite of what we're seeing in Basketball Wives, that's still not giving us very much.
Yeah, I don't know that I said the opposite. I just think it's better. But at any
better
rate,
better even different.
I think if we're looking to the mainstream media, or whatever, to somehow bail out the black people,
that's not happening.
Then you're gonna always be upset and you're gonna always
be
kind
angry.
Of find because we are not enough of a demographic to come to want to go to them and say, hey, please. Please acknowledge us. Please be nice to us. Please cater to us and pander to us. What we have to do is build our own shit, just like we do with these podcasts, just like just like Kevin Hart did with BET. We have to go build our own platforms and stop waiting for somebody else to write us the show that we will all go, isn't that good? Black people are getting represented. We just can't wait for the gatekeepers anymore.
No, because the balance has never been there.
That,
we've never had any proper representation that's given us both ends of the spectrum. What we do need to do is support the stuff that does come out. There's tons of independent films that come out that do give balance. I think I was talking to all of you guys about Ava DuVernay, the black woman director, and her films that are completely different from any, I mean, it's nothing like what we've seen before. And she just needs our support. She needs folks to get out into movie theaters. She needs smaller cities that don't get the movies there to, you know, make a demand. We want to see this movie. We want to support it. We don't want to wait for it to come on Netflix. We want to see it in theaters and get people to the theaters to support some of those storylines. I'm sorry, Moody, I cut you off. Go ahead.
Okay, well, no problem. I'm saying that I think, first of all, this is a great debate. I mean, it's not often that you get to have a wide open debate like this with all mature adults, and you know, nobody's sucking on a pacifier and falling out the crib and all that shit. So this is a wonderful debate. But I think that we're kind of all saying the same thing to a degree, with just a couple of things that we all hold on to our opinions. And we have to remember, man, I respect people's opinions because mine is so strong that I look asinine, not even if I get at your opinion, I still respect it. I think that what the bottom line here, we're still talking about variety. Like Rod and Karen are saying to a degree, I don't want to see 10 fucking Cosby shows. That shit ain't, to me, with the way I grew up, I be looking at this shit like, God damn, dog, ain't nobody pregnant. Niggas ain't fighting. Ain't nobody get stabbed in the chest and no shit yet. So, you know, it's just the variety. It's just, I think that all of us understand. Hater just said it. It's not up to anybody. Rod just said it almost 25 seconds ago. It's we don't make enough of the populace. We're not big enough of a demographic to make those kind of moves. But what we can do, we have to start taking advantage of the fact that our culture is a beast. People follow our culture all around the world. It's not just hip-hop. It's everything. It's R&B. It's fashion. You know, it's the look of a black woman that makes women get collagen injections and all of that. And what I would like to just see us do on this note, Casey, and then I'm done on this one at least, on this note, I would like to see us say, hey, give me the Atlanta basketball girl, all that crazy shit. I don't watch those things, but I don't have a fucking problem with them. Put them out there and give me a Cosby. What the fuck happened to Jada Pinkett Smith in the medical show? What happened to Damon Wayans' show? Like, put those demand that variety and demand it with your dollar and demand it in what you're going to what you're going to watch and what you're going to listen to and what you're going to wear and even what you're going to eat, where you're going to go out and get business to. So once again, and for the last time, variety, because everybody has such valid points. We just need to understand all of this stuff is entertainment, but I am very concerned about who it influences, and perhaps everyone on this call is too advanced to be influenced by something, and we're missing a generation of people that are strictly influenced by nothing but fuckers.